In this section of the interview with prisoner Peter Collins, the questions revolve around two different articles written by journalists in regards to a video that showed Asian prisoners celebrating the Chinese New Year at the penitentiary Collins Bay. Both Peter Collins and prisoner John Schaeffler wrote articles for the Whig Standard newspaper in response to one of these articles. And Peter explains how the journalists must have acquired this video. This is just one example of how Corrections Services of Canada manipulates the mass media with respect to prison issues, thereby advancing their agenda. Also in this section, there is the question of whether prisoners' rights groups are able to make a difference in this bureaucratic environment and if the mass media take notice of their opinions when discussing prison issues. I'd like to speak specifically about on September 20th, 2002, an article was written by Michael Harris from the Ottawa Sun titled, quote, "A Cell of a Good Time," unquote. In this article, Mr. Harris writes about a party at Collins Bay Institution. He received a video, although he does not explain to the readers how he acquired this video, of a New Year's party at Collins Bay Institution. And Mr. Harris makes allegations that the prisoners were using drugs and drinking and that there were no guards present at this party. Also, he doesn't explain that this was a Chinese New Year's party organized by Asian prisoners at Collins Bay. Also, another journalist, Ian Elliott, wrote on November 8, 2002, in the Whig Standard newspaper in Kingston, Ontario, an article titled, quote, "Prisons to Study Inmates' Free Time," unquote. In this article, where he writes about the study to be conducted by Corrections Canada, he also states that an, quote, "internal investigation by prison officials failed to determine how the video was leaked, but stated that there was no proof the inmates were doing anything illegal in the tape, which was determined to have been shot in 1998, unquote. Now, I have a few questions on this. Firstly, John Schaeffler and yourself wrote to the Whig Standard newspaper, that is in reference to the second article that Ian Elliott wrote. John Schaeffler, who is the inmate committee chairman at Collins Bay, was even at this event and states that not only were there no drugs and alcohol, but that all security measures, including the presence of guards, was at this Chinese New Year's event. Do you think that these journalists twisted the story in regards to this event? Was it just bad journalism, or is there a larger perspective to this?
I don't think that Michael Harris can be considered a journalist in the true sense anymore, but we'll pretend that he's a journalist. And the other guy, I don't know. I think there's a predisposition, especially in Kingston, but across the continent, I would imagine this holds true, that mainstream media is spoon-fed stories from the correctional community, as well as, I guess, any other government agency. Our media, our mass media, appear to be more than ready to consume regurgitated nonsense from the powers that be. So, bad journalism. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I don't think they're just not doing their jobs effectively. With regard to Michael Harris, the very interesting thing about Michael Harris is that he was one of the reporters who were instrumental in uncovering Donald Marshall's wrongful conviction. He was one of the reporters who was instrumental in that. But somewhere along the way, he's lost his credibility and his ability to look at a story objectively and report on it. He seems to be being fed this information from staff and corrections staff who are not happy with the way things are, and they want things more repressive and tightened down. So he appears to be serving their agenda and not doing any reporting, legitimate reporting. Like, he talks about how wonderful it is in Canadian prisons, and You know, they talk about that video at Collins Bay. An interesting note is that one of the Asian guys that were at that, were on that video and in the photographs, he's dead now. So, you know, I wonder how happy he was while he was dying in prison. Like, how the good life was really striking home for him there.
Do the prisoners have access to video cameras?
In certain circumstances, you can sign out a video camera, but very special circumstances, for instance, like the Chinese New Year, when they had a Buddhist monk come in and they were celebrating, you know, a very special, meaningful time in their culture together, sort of trying to bridge that gap between the community and the prison and get them on a in a positive state of mind. So this was recorded, but you had to borrow the camera through the administration. And we need to keep in mind that just although they only show us the videotape from one angle, directly behind the camera, about several yards away, is a gun tower, a manned gun tower with, you know, correction staff in it. It's not like, you know, there was some big secret going on where someone's snuck a camera out or something. It was, you know, all done above board in accordance with the policy at the time.
Who would have leaked this video out?
Well, the only people who could have leaked the tape out are corrections staff themselves, and they would have done that to forward the agenda that they have, you know, where they're trying to get public support to clamp down on the prison system, which, you know, they like to pretend is just like a big joyful theme park ride.
Peter, both you and Mr. Schaeffler from Collins Bay both state in your letters to the editor that there was more attention that was awarded to this event because of the fact that it was an event for the Asian community in the prison, being that the Chinese New Year is a cultural and spiritual event for them, and that if this had been an event that was Christian, be it Catholic, Anglican, or Protestant, little or no attention would have been given to this event. This being said, would you consider this a racist act from the media that reported on this event?
I don't think that we could say that the media is you know, racist because they reported on it. They were obviously, they're being manipulated by the union or whoever it is that's leaking, you know, whatever correction staff are spiriting out of the institution this videotape. You know, they actually have to break the law to confiscate the tape, surreptitiously sneak it out of the institution and then give it to a reporter. These are all illegal acts. I don't know that you could blame it on the media because is anybody, you know, spiriting out videos of Christian service? And I don't know if they would have or wouldn't have reported it, you know, if someone had of. But, you know, so I don't know if you could even say that it was done through, you know, racism from the staff's point of view because I don't think their agenda... I don't even know if they have that long of an attention span to do it for those reasons, but I think the main reason that they're doing it is to you know, crush down on whatever paltry little privileges that we have in Canadian prisons. That's not to say that there isn't a heavy vein of racism running through Canadian prisons, because certainly there is. You only need to look at the release statistics, the population statistics of Canadian prisons to know that there is certainly racism afoot in the Canadian penitentiary system.
Did either your letter to the editor or the letter written by Mr. John Schaeffler get published in the Whig Standard newspaper?
John's letter got published, yeah.
Why do you think there is so much biased reporting done on prisoners in the mass media?
Biased reporting? I think because we're an easy target. I think that it's no longer acceptable to target most people in society, but prisoners are certainly an acceptable target for anybody to attack. You know, it's just such an easy target, too. So I think that must have some impact on the rationale.
Do you know if journalists from mass media ever tried to contact inmate committees when they are writing up articles on prisoners?
Very rarely. Very rarely, but it's happened. It's happened, and I don't know how often, you know, when it does rarely happen, how often people are interested in speaking with them, because when you're demonized all the time by the media, it's a tough call to go and put your trust in that they're going to accurately reflect what you're saying. So oftentimes they'll be turned down if they do request it.
Are prisoner rights groups, are they able to make a difference in this bureaucratic prison environment?
I think one of the saddest things for prisoners, especially, but since the death of Claire Culhane, there's been very, very little movement from prisoners' rights organizations in Canada. You know, there's very little, you know, nobody really stands out as advocating for prison reform or prisoners' rights. And you know, it's understandable. It's a very tough thing to be fighting for. You're resisted almost all the time. And certainly when you do try to make changes or you do try to effect dialogue with an administration, they're very unapproachable. You know, they deny everything. They ignore you. They lie. They manipulate things. It's hard for anybody to effectively challenge the government.
But with these prisoner rights groups that exist, does the mass media contact these groups on a regular basis to get their opinion on the different issues regarding prisons and prisoners when they're writing up articles?
I'm not entirely sure, you know, and like what kind of prisoners' rights groups are we talking about? You know, there's, you know, we have the John Howard Society, which, you know, there's some good people working in there, but I don't know how effective they are. I do know that they lobby for change, and when they do lobby for change, they present intelligent, you know, arguments for it. I think Elizabeth Fry Society is a much more vocal advocate for prison reform and prisoners' rights, but they're dedicated specifically to women, you know, not men's issues. Those are two groups that I can think of that are, you know, sort of working in prisoners' rights. Again, Elizabeth Fry more so than John Howard. But then there's Passan, but their mandate is specifically to help people with AIDS and Hep C, so HIV, AIDS, and Hep C. I think there's one group out west, can't remember their name, but they are constantly fighting on legal issues, legal prison issues. We have Queen's Law Project in Ontario, but really they're so closely linked to corrections that their ability to advocate on behalf of prisoners is very limited. You know, they're not